You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Brandon Grace delights the home fans with a stunning victory at the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player.
This is that one event that, as a South African, you want to win. It's Africa's major for a reason, and what a special place it is. And, you know, there's a lot of history, a lot of great winners on the trophy, and, you know, I'm very glad to be able to put my name on the trophy as well.
We'll hear from the South African who got the better of Victor Dubuisson and Scott Jameson on an epic final day in Sun City.
I'm sure I'll look back and take great pride in that. Played with some of the best players in the world this week and proved that I can compete with them, so hopefully I can take something out of that. That was the goal coming here, to try and get into Dubai. I think I needed probably top eight to do that or something, so second's pretty good.
A review of the best of the action to come, plus we'll also look ahead to the final event of the season, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined today by three discipline champion, Paul Eales.
Discipline?
Yeah, I mean, challenge tour, senior tour, main tour.
Oh, right, I'm with you, yeah.
I'm bigging you up.
But I'm not disciplined.
No, you're not disciplined, no, ill-disciplined. Unlike the performance of Brandon Grace yesterday.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Really love watching it, Rob. And on a golf course like that, I don't think the viewers at home or people that haven't played there realise just how difficult that is. And to shoot 66 in the last round under those conditions was just a sensational performance.
How hard a course is it to either make a move, like make a charge, or hang on to what you've got?
Well, to make a charge, it's difficult. If you're going to go at those pins, you're going to know where they tuck them away, you're going to have some serious up and downs to do and scramble to make your pars, because you just can't get at some of those flags. To hang on, yeah, it's probably a little bit easy because you can hit it in the middle of the greens and two putt. But to seek those flags out is not easy. And it's a big golf course as well.
Yeah, it is. Well, when we used to go down there in the 80s, it was just a monster. Now it's a little bit less so. You see some of the players hitting wedges into the long par fours that were mid-irons. Things have changed, but that's progress. Lee Hao Tong had a run through the card, didn't he, in that final round?
Oh, what? Again? I mean, he's a Sunday guy. I saw a post from Matt Cooper, and he was saying Sunday best, Lee Hao Tong, or Hao Tong Lee, in his last 26 starts on a Sunday, he's had 269s, 267s, 266s, 265s and 264s in round four. That's not a bad way to finish off your week.
No, it's pretty good. And he had about a 6-footer on the last for 63?
Yes, he did. That was a tremendous iron shot, wasn't it? We were saying hard to find those flags. He did on 18, but unfortunately missed the putt.
He was never going to win on the totally finished on. Did you always feel it was between those in the last three ball? Dubuisson, Jameson and Grace.
Yeah, the way they started, the way they looked, none of them looked edgy. They all looked in control. They were all watching each other. So to me, it was always going to come down from those three. Martin Kaymer had a little bit of a run, didn't he? Did he have four birdies around the turn or something like that? But he was always a little bit too far away. And I think he finished in fourth place or something.
Who do you think played the best in the final round? Dubuisson, Grace or Jameson?
Grace. I mean, but for different reasons. I mean, Scott Jameson hasn't been in the frame. He's struggled a little bit over the last few years. So for him to be there, he has won down in South Africa, but it was a rain-shortened event, wasn't it?
It was in the middle of the race course in Durban.
Royal Durban, that's correct, yeah. So never been tested on going the stretch at this level. So he did absolutely fantastically. But I think the way Brandon Grace played, hit all the greens in regulation, which is hard to do, middle of the green. You always felt that he was going to make a putt. Now, the reason that it came on 16, I don't know why, but that long one went in there, and that was the difference, that one shot.
Because he hit two beautiful shots, a drive and a sandwich to 15, and didn't hold that putt. And then you thought, well, you know, Jameson hadn't rocked at all. He looked really good until the tee shot 16.
I've no idea what happened to that one. And, of course, thankfully, the hospitality units were there, or we may never have seen that golf ball again.
And then how good was the second shot then?
Oh, the up and down. Well, he got no room, played a parachute shot. And of course, Scott's been working with Humar on the short game. And I think the big difference for him this week is the mid-range putts. I think he was plus five strokes gained on 5 to 15 feet on the green. So that was the difference for him. He putted well, holed out nicely, but fantastic chip on 16 and another great one having gone through the green on 18.
So let's sort of go through those first three players in reverse order. Victor Dubuisson, he's been amazing because he was struggling until he finished third in the Dunhill Links, and now he's come here and finished third again just before he goes to Dubai.
Yeah, nothing wrong with finishing third in a big event, is there, which he's done twice there. Great player. He disappears for a while, doesn't he? Not quite sure what happens to Victor. His golf game is there for everybody to see. Surprisingly, has he only won twice, both in Turkey or something
Turkey,
like
that? Yeah.
But a Ryder Cup player, and he played ever so well, didn't he, in that Ryder Cup team. And you would have thought Victor would have kicked on, been a little bit more consistent, but supposedly that's not what he is.
Maybe it starts now.
Hopefully so. Yeah, why not?
And for Scott Jamieson, this is definitely the biggest check of his career, and maybe an endorsement that what he's now doing is going to lead to a lot more consistent golf.
Huge. I mean, fantastic amateur career. Took his time coming through the mini tours to get on tour, struggled a little bit. His game's not really moved forward, but he's smart enough to have sought out experts that have said, well, OK, what are we going to do for you now to move on? So he identified chipping, he identified mid-range putting, worked on that. That's come through and nearly hit the jackpot yesterday.
You know, he was tied with three holes to go, and those last three holes, the 16th par 3, 17 dogleg rights left across the water, and 18, same story across the water. If you'd have said to either Grace or Jamieson, I'll give you level par on 16, 17 and 18, do you think that they're both taking it?
I think they would.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Scott rocked a little bit. Obviously, we talked about the tee shot at 16, but he got it up and down. 17, he played beautifully. Mm. Had a putt from 35 feet that he left a couple of feet short, but no problems there. And 18, his second shot, even though it went through the green, was right at the flag, having striped it down the middle off the tee. So, you know, his game wasn't falling apart in any way, shape or
no,
form.
No, he did nothing wrong. And then for Brendan Grace, you know, this is another endorsement for him. But do you think the thing he really wants is a major title?
Yeah, I'm sure all players do, but you've got
all players do, but they don't necessarily give you the feeling that they have the caliber to do it. Do you think Brendan Grace has the caliber to be a major champion?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at.
Absolutely. And he showed it. He's been there once or twice. He's had a sniff, hasn't he? And then, of course, shot 62 at Birkdale in round 3, I think it was, wasn't it?
And he broke the low score, broke all the 63s, chucked them out the window as the low score in a major.
Yeah.
And he nearly won at Chambers Bay when he hit this one bad shot at the 16th.
One bad shot,
and he could have won the US Open.
So, learning from that, and I'm sure, you know, and you've got to think where he was a few years ago, playing on the Challenge Tour. We're going to come to the qualifying school. He was there, he's been there a few times, and then suddenly 2012 gets on tour, wins 4 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can happen very quickly for these guys, and why not have a run of majors?
Yeah, why not? He's part of a close-knit community of South African players out on tour. Ernie Els has said, well, I'll translate it, I can't read the Afrikaans. He said, beautifully played, proud of you. George Kurtzier said, unbelievable, so happy for you. Blixem, which apparently means lightning. Great stuff, Gracie, true champion. Charles Schwartzel, who was there amongst the champagne sprayers on the final green. Louis Oosthuizen was there. Darren Fickart was there. Great. I don't know if you saw the slow-mo of Brendan Grace just standing there, taking
did
this...
He?
Yeah.
Didn't run away.
He just stood there, arms aloft and apart, and just took the hit. Tremendous stuff. Charles Schwartzel, one of those. Very well played, Brendan Grace. Well deserved, my friend. OK, let's hear from the champion just moments after the heavens opened following his victory in Sun City.
This is that one event that, as a South African, you want to win Africa's major for a reason. And, you know, what a special place it is. And, you know, there's a lot of history, a lot of great winners on the trophy. And... you know, I'm very glad to be able to put my name on the trophy as well.
What was the mindset going out there today when you stood on the first tee?
You know, I told Zach, you know, if I can get it bogey-free today, we're going to be in there with a chance. Managed to do that. I hit the ball superb all day. I gave myself some great chances. Didn't take all of them, but, you know, I did what I needed to do. And it was great to finish, obviously, the way I did. And you know, bogey-free it was. And it was great to be able to pull it off.
To shoot a 66 on the final day, and with two great competitors in your group as well, you know, it must have been a particular challenge.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, they played great. Obviously, they were quite a bit in front of me, you know, 2 and 3 shots starting the day. And, you know, when we got to the first hole, they both hit it to 4 or 5 feet, and I thought, you know, geez, these guys are keen to get it going. So, you know, I knew I just had to make birdies and stay patient, and managed to do that.
And you're the latest winner in the Rolex series as well, which is a pretty nice thing to have.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's special to win, firstly, and then special to win one of the final series events as well. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to push me into for next week, but, you know, hopefully I'm in for a good shot.
He must have worried when they started the way they did, the fact that now the thought that they're going to sort of come back to him is not going to happen.
Yeah, obviously all he can do is control what he can do himself. And we've spoken about the experience that he's had over the years of winning, competing in majors. He would have been aware that all he had to do was stay patient there. He was playing well enough, as I say. He hit 18 greens, I think, on that final round.
Yep.
Plenty of opportunities, and he just had to wait his time. And, of course, that's what he did, and 16 was the turning point.
Yeah, it was. He becomes the first South African winner of the Nedbank Golf Challenge since Trevor Immelman in 2007, and he moves alongside Louis Oosthuizen into a tie for fourth on the list of all-time South African European Tour winners behind Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, and Charles Schwartzel. Not bad.
Fantastic, isn't it? And they always have been, the South African guys. I mean, Ernie was one of my favourites to play with, because he was great crack out on the golf course. Mm. He never seemed to take it seriously, but there was a fierce competitor in there. And Ernie had, I mean, just immense amount of power. You'd be going along and think, well, I'm not too far behind. He's only 20 yards or so.
He wasn't the Big Easy.
Ernie's not the Big Easy,
let me tell you.
Well, then you get to a par five and suddenly there's 50 yards between you. Oh, right, thanks, Ernie. And, of course, putted like an angel, didn't he, in those early
days? In the early days, he absolutely had it all.
Yeah,
Ernie Els had it all. He was an amazing golfer, he really was. OK, to the rest of the leaderboard now, and Scott Jameson was asked for his reaction after coming up just short in his quest for a second European Tour title.
Obviously, initially disappointed, yeah. I got off to a nice start and, you know, things were looking good, and then a bit of a blip on number eight. But, you know, Brandon got off to a fast start, and all three of us were going along nicely there. And then, like you just said there, on 16, perhaps if my chip had gone in, then it might have been a different story.
What happened on 16? Because the tee shot, I think he got a little bit lucky and almost ended up making a birdie.
Yeah, shanked it. I'm good for about one shank a tournament, so unfortunately it popped up right there. But it's a really tough flag where it is today, and you can't feel the wind on the tee, so it's an awkward shot.
That's an amazing shank, to shank it and fly it that far.
Yeah.
You know, he flew it hole high.
Yeah, he did.
That's unbelievable.
But you know what it's like when you hit a shank and you're not expecting it.
Well, if he says I get about one a tournament, he hasn't had one until the 70th hole, you're going to worry,
still,
aren't you?
It still rattles you, doesn't it? Particularly when you've got that second shot across the water into 17 and then 18 following that. So, he did really, really well. And as I say, the two pitch shots he hit on 16 and 18...
He can be proud, can't he?
Oh, for sure. When you think Scott has, the last couple of years, he's struggled. I don't think he's been inside the top 100 on the race to Dubai. So he's been, you know, outside there looking, am I going to have somewhere to work next year? And now, of course, he leapfrogged straight into the final event.
Well, he's gone from 75th to 23rd. One of a bunch of players that went from outside the top 60 to inside the top 60 to make sure they were in Dubai. And Victor Dubuisson was another one of those with his third place. He went from 73rd to 38th in the race to Dubai. Goes to Dubai, and of course, you have a great week there. You can improve your rankings once again.
Yeah, and he can do that, can't he? You know, he's been around, he likes the big events. Not had as many wins as I would have expected for Victor, but, you know, played beautifully. Didn't do anything wrong, did he, in Sun City?
No, he didn't. Now, Lee Hau Tong was 9 shots off the pace heading into the final round, but an 8 under par, 64, the lowest of the week, saw the Chinese player finish 4th.
After 6 holes, I was star-looked the leaderboard. I said, oh, not far down there. At that time, I just thought I can finish top 10. It's really good. And, I mean, can't believe last 4 holes, I got chance at least. And unfortunately, missed a couple putts, especially 15 and 18 inside 10 feet. So, I mean, at least going better right now.
It could be a seasonal thing with him, because at this time last year in Turkey, he had a really good run as well, Hau Tong Lee.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, he's a winner, and he can shoot low, can't he? And as we've read out there, the numbers on a Sunday, 64 on a Sunday, never does you any harm, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. OK, the top 10 from the Nedbank Golf Challenge, hosted by Gary Player, please.
OK, in 10th place, we had Graham Storm, Tommy Fleetwood. Tied 8th, Louis Oosthuizen, Matt Fitzpatrick. Tied 6th, Lee Westwood, Darren Fichart. 5th, Martin Kaymer. 4th, Lee Hau Tong. 3rd, Victor Dubuisson. 2nd was Scott Jameson. And our winner of the Nedbank Golf Challenge was Brandon Grace.
So as Paul mentioned there, Tommy Fleetwood finished in a tie for 10th place, and it saw him increase his advantage at the top of the race to Dubai to just under 257,000 points. He'll now head to the DP World Tour Championship, knowing that only Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia mathematically can deny him being crown winner in the race to Dubai.
It's great to be in this position. Great to sort of be testing myself, seeing what I can do mentally and, you know, my game. If my game's not quite there, if it is there, just mentally handling what's going on. You know, I don't know how I'll feel next week. It's going to be a new experience. It's going to be a great experience. Playing to win the race to Dubai is very, very special, and it's something that actually not, you know, very few people get the chance to do. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I can come off on Sunday and I've won both. I've won the tournament and the race to Dubai. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But yeah, it's going to be great next week. It's something very special.
Been a brilliant year for Tommy Fleetwood. Now, if you were Tommy going to next week, Sergio's got to win and Tommy's got to finish nearly last for that to happen. So for me, it's really between Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood. Do you watch Justin Rose and just, if I finish in front of him, it's job done?
No, I don't think you do. I think Tommy's got more respect for his own game than to look at what Justin can do. I think it's definitely down to him. And he, like you said there, what a great way to finish would be to win the event. So that takes everything, takes care of itself. So I think Tommy will go out there, he'll play hard. He's come off playing nicely.
There's a great top 10 this week because he had two poor days. He was miles down. Great top 10.
Showed his resilience, didn't it? And he came back and things weren't great for him. So his form is okay, for sure. The difference with Justin Rose is going to be, one, that he didn't play last week, and two, the time difference. So I think from South Africa to Dubai is maybe a couple of hours, 3 hours tops, where Justin's going to have, what's he going to have?
Nine hours-ish.
And we know that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but well, it is. It's a lot of adjusting in a sort of 7 or 8 day period. So, but I mean, Justin's a world player. He's used to flying around, and he's at the end of the day not going from the back of the bus.
No.
It's up the stairs and turn left until your nose hits the pilot's door. That's where he's going. That's how he's flying.
But it's waking up at 2 a.m. going, what time does breakfast open?
Well, that's true, of course. Four, 5 hours to breakfast. Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please, Paul.
Okay, in 10th place, Francesco Molinari. 9th, Brandon Grace. 8th, Alex Norin. 7th, Rafa Cabrera Bello. 6th, Ross Fisher. 5th, Tyrrell Hatton. 4th is John Rahm. 3rd, Sergio Garcia. 2nd, Justin Rose. And our leader, as he's been for many, many weeks, Tommy Fleetwood.
So, fancy Race to Dubai tips. I went for Tommy Fleetwood, who finished tied 10th, and Thomas Peters, who didn't play. I'm not sure about that. I thought he'd have really done well around that course, and he might have done. Jamie went for Rafa Cabrera Bello, 42nd at +4, and Victor Dubuisson, who played well there last year. I think he finished 3rd there last year. He's done it again this year. 9 under par for Victor in that final 3-ball, and a really good tournament for the Frenchman. In the fancy Race to Dubai game, Antonio Minoni leads the overall standings, but like the actual Race to Dubai, there's not much of a gap back to 2nd place. Meanwhile, it's congratulations to Anthony Hennigan, who scored the most points this week after having Brandon Grace and Victor Dubuisson in his lineup. In our own Race to Dubai show, presenters and listeners mini-league, Eddie Whitefield scored the most points to increase his lead at the top, with just one event remaining. How'd you get on, Paul, this week?
I think I did okay. I didn't get a winner. I think I went for Tommy as my captain, Tommy Fleetwood.
So did I, yeah.
Yeah, I had Lee Westwood, who he just plays so well week in, week out, but I just feel so sorry for Lee's standard of golf. Tee to green is just exceptional most weeks. Anyway, I went for him. Didn't quite happen. And Ross Fisher, disappointed that Ross finished so far down.
It looked like
the field.
Him and Tyrrell Hatton at one point, you know, moving into round three, it looked like playing together, that sparks might fly, but it, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Now we're trying too hard.
Yeah, trying too hard, and you expect that the brilliance of the previous few weeks is going to be there, and it's not always there. Difficult game, golf, a really difficult game. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their fantasy three to watch at this week's DP World Tour Championship. Now, in other news, Englishman Tom Murray shot a second round 9 under par 63 to share the lead with Italy's Andrea Pavan at the European Tour Qualifying School final stage at Lumine Golf Club in Tarragona in Spain. And, you know, it's the time of year where players have to go through the gruel of what is the Q School. 6 competitive rounds plus practice rounds. So you're probably minimum, if you go through to the end, playing 8 days in a row. It's a slog.
It is a slog, but it's a last chance saloon for some of these guys. Tom Murray's played all year on the Challenge Tour, didn't get into the top 15, so coming into the week, probably disappointed, but what a back nine. 29, I think he shot yesterday for that 63, and everybody in the Manchester area absolutely chuffed to bits for Tom, including his dad, Andy Murray, who was a former European Open champion.
Yeah, very, very, very good playing from Tom Murray indeed. And let's see if he can keep it going. You can keep up to date with the Q School on the European Tour website. Still four rounds to go. And on the PGA Tour, Patton Kizzire edged out fellow American Ricky Fowler by one shot to claim a maiden victory at the OHL Classic at Mayakoba in Mexico. The world number 236 carded a bogey-free 67 in the final round. Ricky Fowler, Patton Kizzire, pretty much toe-to-toe all the way down to the wire. And it was Ricky cracked. Ricky bogeyed 17 and Kizzire birdie 17.
Yeah, big turnaround there right at the end. Difficult week when you're on and off the golf course, isn't it, for concentration, but can only be one winner at the end of it. And well done, Patton.
Yeah, well done, Patton. Another name to keep an eye on from that clutch of young players they got in the PGA Tour. Coming good, what, 11 months to go before the next Ryder Cup.
And counting.
As Europeans, we always go, 11 months to go, 10 months to go, 9 months to go. And trust me, the Americans are at it as well. They're very Ryder Cup conscious.
Now that they've won one.
No, even before then.
Really?
Even before then. In the last few seasons, I hear people talking in January, American players talking in January about getting into that Ryder Cup side. It's got traction. It definitely has. Top 10 in the world, please, Paul.
Okay, Rob, top 10 in the world. In 10th place is Brooks Koepka. 9th, Henrik Stenson. 8th, Rory McIlroy. 7th, Ricky Fowler. 6th is Justin Rose. 5th, John Rahm. 4th, Hideki Matsuyama. 3rd is Justin Thomas. 2nd, Jordan Spieth. And world number one ranked golfer is Dustin Johnson.
Okay, time now to turn our attention to the final event of the 2017 season. It's weird, isn't it? We're just finishing our 2017 season. The PGA Tour just starting their wraparound 2017-2018 season. Golf is mad. The DP World Tour Championship at Jumeirah Golf Estates in Dubai. The Earth Course, the top 60, as it happens, the top 62, because Henrik Stenson couldn't play because of injury and Rory McIlroy is not fully fit. So two extra players in Ian Poulter and Paul Waring qualified. So it's the top 62 in the race to Dubai, a quality field on a really exciting golf course, Paul.
Yes, it is. And, I think the players are getting used to it. It's almost like it's a relief that it's the end of the season, but they're excited to know that there's so much money there, big things happening. And I think that's why you get certain players like Ian Poulter actually come to the fore during that final week, because he knows it's a big event. There's a huge feel to it. It is a big tournament in terms of prize money. And like you say, a very, very good golf course.
Yeah, and Ian said, it looks like I'm heading to Dubai for the last event of the year. That was a little close. Looking forward to it now. I love the course and should be a great way to finish 2017. That's exactly right. Who does it suit, the golf course?
Well, we say it every week, don't we? The longer hitters, obviously the further down the fairway you can get it off the tee, then the shorter the iron so you can find out the pins. Big green slopes in them. But having said that, Matt Fitzpatrick, who won last year, is not the longest off the tee. But also holes like 18 where that creek just sneaks in the further
Serpentine
down you go.
Creek,
yeah, it does. And so maybe length isn't as important, but any time you can get a short iron in your hand, it's going to benefit those guys.
Justin Rose obviously turns up after winning his last two events, and he knows if he wins here, it's in his own hands. He will be the best player in Europe this year. And he's also going there knowing he's the course record holder, 62 shooter.
Yeah, and I think the tougher the course, the better Justin does. He sort of plods his way around, but I noticed in Turkey, more so than in China, how many big putts he hold from, downtown, really. And that was the difference at the end of the week. He was making those mid to long putts that kept his score going. And, tee to green just doesn't put a foot wrong, does he? And it's a question, like we were saying about Lee Westwood, if you can hold those putts, then Justin Rose is going to take some beating.
It's not dead flat, the golf course. There are some changes in elevation.
There are, yeah. No, it's a great design. It's got a little bit of everything in there, some shorter shots, some big shots, some par fives that are just on the limit where the guys, maybe wondering whether they should lay up. Big open space bunkers, aren't they? But they're quite a long way, usually, these bunkers from the flag. Although, having said that, do you remember the up and down Matt Fitzpatrick made last year on 18 to
yes,
win?
Yes, from the right-hand side.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very good young player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And he's going to come here. He played well last week. Where did he finish? Top 10?
Yeah.
He's got form.
Bang in form, yeah.
Yeah. John Rahm turning up to play in his first DP World Tour Championship. It'll be exciting to watch him again.
It will be exciting. You get crush, bang, wallet from John Rahm. I don't know how many practice rounds he'll have to familiarise himself with it, but it's a type of golf course that he won't be unfamiliar with. It's quite wide open and big space. It gives you that feeling as though you can open your shoulders and have a crack at it.
What you've got to bear in mind with John is that what he's done and his rise up the world rankings is in his rookie year, and he doesn't know any of the courses.
No, that's right, yeah.
You know, he's played a whole year on the PGA Tour on course he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Imagine when he goes next year and he knows them.
Yeah.
Are you saying in some way sometimes that can help you in a
There's
way?
There's no expectation, is there? And he's riding the crest of a wave at the minute. I'm sure when things go a little bit difficult for John, then we'll see the real character, whether he can come through and be better after that or whether he just becomes a very good player. Time will tell.
Are you a Tyrrell Hatton fan?
I am.
Yeah? You like watching him?
I do like watching him. The way he has a go at himself and it's all inwardly directed, which some psychologists would probably tell you is not the right way to go about things. But I love the way he plays golf. I love his passion for wanting to. And he's a winner. He's trying to win. And if he's not hitting the shots that aren't just right, he lets himself know.
He's not looking at it like it's a popularity contest.
No, he's not.
No, it's the W or nothing. So, you know, you look at, we know that Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, they're obviously the top three. Then you go Rahm fourth, Hatton fifth, Ross Fisher sixth, Cabrera Bay is seventh, Alex Noren 8th, Brandon Grace 9th, Molinari 10th, Fitzpatrick 12th, Wiesberger 14th. And all these players with a win or a big finish can climb even further and there's more gold at the end of the rainbow for them.
Yeah, looking down there at Molinari, just week in, week out. He doesn't overpower a golf course, but he never seems to hit errant shots offline. He's always there or thereabouts. Hopefully he can go well this week. Bernd Wiesberger, hot and cold, isn't he? He's sort of...
He's got everything.
He's got the power.
He's got the lot.
He's got the shots, yeah. But it's so difficult to win, we say, don't we? Every week it's not easy to win.
No. Who are you going to pick?
Oh, that's. I'm thinking Justin Rose, but I think time difference... didn't play last week. So, do you know what? I'm going to go for Lee Westwood. I just keep going for Lee every week, thinking... You know, he's going to do it. I think Lee Westwood will have a great week in Dubai this coming week, and he would be my pick.
Well, I asked you at the top of the show, and you never mentioned Lee Westwood. That's
what
I was going for.
To was it?
I asked you so I wouldn't pick a you pick. No, that's fine. You have Westwood. Yeah. No, you've got Lee, and you can have another one.
Yeah, Julian Suri, I'm going to go for. Started the year off on the Challenge Tour, got his chance, won a tournament made in Denmark. He's now a regular tour player. Got himself into the top 60. From basically half a season. So looking for the American, I think he's 59th in the rankings at the moment.
And is that your value bet?
He's my value bet. I think he'll go well this week.
All right. I was going to go with Lee Westwood. I'm not anymore. I'm going to go with do you know, I've had such a kick out of watching John Rahm this year. Just going, you know, particularly crossing the PGA Tour, just going at it, driver everywhere. And just really having a go at every golf course he comes to. And I'm really had a lot of fun watching him. So I'm going to go with Rahm and I'm going to go with Matthew Fitzpatrick. I don't think either of those players are either value bets. They're top players. But, you know, it's the DP World Tour Championship. Everyone's a top player.
So why aren't you going for a value bet then?
That is my value bet. Fitzpatrick's my value bet.
Hardly. He's a leading contender.
Oh, he only finished 8th last week.
Yeah, and won this one the year before.
So first of all, you've nicked Westwood, and now you say I can't have Fitzpatrick. What are you running this show?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go Scott Jameson for another good week. How about that?
Fantastic.
All right?
Why not?
You happy with that?
Yeah.
Even though he finished 2nd last week.
Can
I have him as value? Is that possible?
You've got 3 now.
No, I know. I'm having to give up Fitzpatrick.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Scott Jameson.
Very good.
Okay, so my two are John Rahm and Scott Jameson. You happy with that? Can I have those two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the DP World Tour Championship, where our 2017 Race to Dubai winner will be revealed. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Paul Eales, who's gone for...
Lee Westwood and Julian Suri.
And myself, Robert Lee, who has not gone for Matthew Fitzpatrick. It's Scott Jameson, and I haven't gone for Lee Westwood. It's John Rahm. We'll see you next week.